Well, good evening. My name is Louise. I'm one of the pastors here. And it's great to be at the carol service, isn't it? It always feels like Christmas has properly started if you get to go to a carol service. For whom is this not their first this year? Look at you. There's loads of you trying to just put them in, aren't you, on your holiday? And for some of us, our holiday has started, and there are some unfortunates that still have to work Monday, Tuesday. Oh, so sad and miserable, isn't it? And when I was thinking about tonight, I was thinking about a holiday that I went on quite a few years ago now. And it kind of reminds me of that program, Race Across the World, except we did have stuff. But we're sitting on a train and in a carriage, and there was me and two other girls, and we're sitting in the carriage and waiting for it to go. And as we're waiting for it to go, more and more people start piling in. And this carriage is in India. And so in comes a family, and they sort of sit down, and then some guys come in, and they sit down, and then another family, another chickens, everything. And we are the centre. We are the focal point of what is going on in this carriage. All the other carriages are probably empty, but ours was full to the ceiling. And we felt a little bit uncomfortable with what was going on. And another time, you might be able to relate to this a bit better when we feel a bit uncomfortable, is when we're chatting to somebody, maybe you don't know them very well, and you notice that they're just getting a tiny bit close. And so you start, I don't know if you do this, but you start the dance, don't you? You sort of move a bit. You don't want to make a big deal out of it. You just want to like move a little bit. But then they move. So then you think, oh, I'll have another little move. And then they move again. Before you know it, like salsaing with them or something. It is really weird, isn't it? How we are so conscious of personal space. We know it feels really odd when someone crosses this invisible line. Our personal space is kind of governed by our society's rules and cultures, and so it's different wherever you go in the world. It'll also be different in our families. It's different in our personalities, whether we're kind of like a hugger or we're like, don't touch me, okay? And we learn this as we get to know each other. You sort of say, are you a hugger? Are you? And you're getting back a bit and waiting to see if they're going to go for it, particularly if you love a hug. If you hate a hug, well, you're just like, oh, please don't hug me. And these boundaries are kind of, they're not visible, but you certainly know if someone's crossed it, don't you? Our theme for this year is up close and personal. And when we think about these words, they express that kind of intimacy and also detailed knowledge. So we kind of hold those two together, intimacy and detailed knowledge. People might remark, they might use the phrase up close and personal by saying something like, I'd love to get up close and personal with the Prime Minister or maybe Taylor Swift or someone. They want to kind of get in there and chat to them really closely. Or you might say, I read in the newspaper the other day, there was a bit about I'm going to get up close and personal with why this football team is failing, and it made me think about a certain football team. I don't know if you know them. When we're thinking about the Nativity, the Christmas story, we read of a God who could not have got more up close and personal, more intimate with his creation, more open, more detailed about who he was. And we see that, of course, in Jesus. Jesus chooses to bind himself with humanity in the most closest and most vulnerable ways by becoming a baby. And we see that there's nothing really that you can get more up close and personal than that. But Jesus wasn't just wanting to get up close and personal with one person or even the people that lived at the time or his disciples, but he'd come to restore a kind of relationship between his creation and himself, to restore that intimate relationship that his creation was designed to have. Now, the problem we might have today is that back then, of course, when we read the scriptures, Jesus was walking around and you could have chatted with him. You could have sat down, had a cup of tea and gone, so tell us about it. But today he isn't. And so we left thinking, well, that was okay for them, but can we actually know God in any shape or form? Is there any way that we could have a kind of up close and personal relationship with him? Well, when Jesus was very close to his death, we read in the Gospels that he was with his disciples and he was sort of telling them, you know, I'm going to die. And they, you know, just like if we were sitting with someone saying that, we'd be like, well, no, of course not. Don't do that. You know, that cannot happen. In fact, they got quite cross with him at times and said, no, this will never happen. And he had to get cross and said, no, this is going to happen. But in those last few weeks, he's sort of gathering his disciples and he's reassuring them. He says something really weird. He says, it's better if I go because then another will come. Now that just seems, well, what does that mean? It's better if I go and another comes. And his disciples felt the same. They were like, we don't really understand what this man is going on about. But then he said this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to help you and be with you forever. And the helper that Jesus was referring to was the Holy Spirit. Now, you might not know much about the Holy Spirit. Often when you say, people might think of God or Jesus, but then when you say, you know, well, what's the Holy Spirit? People go, I'm not really sure what that is. So probably a simple way of explaining who he is, and he is a he, not an it, is to think of him in terms of who God is. God is love. And the Holy Spirit is active in the world when we see love, but he's also promised to people who follow him. It describes it in the Bible as love poured into the hearts of the followers of Jesus. So it's very intimate, love poured into hearts. And so the Holy Spirit is the way that Christians can say that they know God personally. That sounds utterly bizarre, but it's that intimacy that they're talking about. So I'm wondering for you, if you don't know that intimacy, what might it be like to know God personally, to have that close and intimate relationship where his love is present in you? And if you could have that, how would that change how you live and how you feel about yourself and how you feel about others? It's going to have some changes. I'm going to invite two friends of mine who are absolutely terrified, but they're going to come up anyway. Come on, girls, you can do it. They're now thinking, why did we agree to do this? But they did, so I've got them now. Is this going to work? I hope so. Hello? Doesn't seem to work. The light is on. Ooh, there we go. Right. Now, with a microphone, you're tempted to do this, but you actually need to shove it right in your face.
Right here.
Okay. Now, you guys have only very recently sort of come to a place where you'd say, I'm a Christian. Is that right?
Yeah.
Very recent. And so if we just back up a few weeks, I just want you to just say a little bit, just go crazy. But what was your kind of feelings about maybe church or Christians or Jesus? How would you sort of describe that at the time?
I think we always knew about the church because my granddad has always been involved with the church. But we didn't feel like it was our place. We never felt like we belonged, really. So we didn't have much of an opinion to begin with.
Oh, go on, you go.
I had an opinion. he didn't do it for me. There was no God.
Yeah.
It was just a story. But things have changed, yeah.
Okay, so things have changed. And I know that when I spoke to these two, kind of had some conversations with them, and Kelly yourself was very forthcoming on what you thought about before we thought Jesus was real. And it was, great. Can you tell us what's changed? What's changed for you guys in the last couple of weeks or so?
My whole life's changed.
Oh.
I'm content, happy. I love being here. I love the feeling that I get, the inside feeling as well as the outside feeling. It's just all over me, like it's like a rash that I just can't get rid of. Yeah, it's like the best rash ever. So, you know, that's how I'm seeing it, and that's how I'm feeling it. Yeah. So,
how about you, Daisy? What's changed, do you think?
I think my whole view has changed. I didn't go into, you know, the course thinking I was going to get much out of it, if I'm honest. You know, just sort of did it to keep everyone happy. And when I did sort of sit back and listen and ask the questions that I felt needed to be asked, it just changed. It really did. I feel a personal connection now. And I wasn't expecting that to be a thing at all. Not at all.
So you never would have thought personal connection was even possible?
No. No.
Yeah, amazing. The course they're talking about is the Alpha course, and I'll tell you more about that later. But thank you, guys. So brave. You can sit down now. Okay. Well, you know, Daisy was saying about how she didn't think that church was a place for her. And I meet a lot of people that say that. They're just like, oh, you know, I'm not very religious, or I don't really like that sort of thing, or I just don't feel comfortable, I feel weird. And to be honest, when I go into churches, I don't know, I feel weird too, because it's scary, you know, it can be a little bit like, oh, what's going to happen? When Jesus walked the earth, he often crossed some of these invisible barriers that we talk about when we know that people have crossed them. And he crossed an awful lot of societal barriers. He engaged with people that he wasn't supposed to. He was, you know, if he was going to be a good and religious person, then some of the things that he shouldn't have done, he did. He really just went across the barrier, as it were. For example, if you were super religious and there was someone poorly, if you touched them, you maybe wouldn't be able to go to temple that week. If you were a man, you certainly shouldn't talk to a woman, but Jesus did. He chatted to women. In fact, he taught women and he included them. If you were very religious, you wouldn't hang out with someone. Maybe it was a little bit like maybe they were considered thieves or a little bit swindlers in some way. But Jesus would happily go and have meals with people and sit with people. He just wanted everybody to know him, and he wanted to know them as well. And he sort of smashed continually these barriers that the world put in place about what was somebody who could get to know God. We see it in the birth narratives right from the beginning that we've been singing about, that right from the very beginning there's an invite for different types of people to come and get to know Jesus. We see it in the Christmas story when we talk about the Magi. Now, these would have been like very intellectually clever people, maybe advisors to kings. They're very wealthy, they're foreigners. They get an invitation, they come and they see Jesus. And then we contrast in the story with the shepherds, who would have been a bit more kind of like people were a bit prejudiced against them. They thought that they maybe robbed people or they were thieves. They would have been probably very little education. They were quite poor. And they get this amazing invitation. An angelic host appears to them. And that shows us from the beginning how important God thinks it is to invite every single person to know him. There's no invisible barriers that we can't cross, because Jesus just wants to meet everyone. Now, we heard that Daisy and Kelly were saying, you know, they didn't think it was them. They wasn't sure that you know, religion was their sort of thing. And you might identify with that. You might be somebody maybe who's here and you like maybe the traditions and things like that, but basically you think, yeah, but I'm not sure about Jesus. Or you might be the other way around. You might think, oh, Jesus seems like a great guy, but I'm not sure about the people that come with him or the religion that comes with him. I don't know. In the book of the Psalms, a writer, he writes this: the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And he's giving that picture that whoever we are, wherever we are, God is really close, really close. He's there, but he's waiting for us to call on him. There's that famous picture, isn't there, by Michelangelo. It comes up all the time, doesn't it, where God is sort of straining and then man is sort of here and you've got like the fingers almost touching but not quite. Don't know if you've ever seen that. And in the picture you see that God is straining. He's really reaching out and yet man is just sort of like, yeah, whatever, whatever. And it's a really good picture here of the situation that we're in. God wants to know everyone and for them to experience that personal, intimate relationship that he has. But sometimes we're not too bothered. Or sometimes there might just be something holding us back. We don't know what it is, but there's something that sort of stops us reaching out to him. But we might say that there's a sense, there's a little bit of all of us that has a sense that there is something more. There is something more than just the physical, just the things we can see and hear, but there's a spiritual thing in the world. There is something maybe we can't see, but we know that it's either missing or we sense it, we're just not sure. That gap is often described by a lot of people as being something that's a sort of a missing part. Some people describe it as they felt a little bit like they were not quite complete, or maybe they were empty inside. Sometimes people have good health, they're successful in life. People look at them and think, well, what have you got to worry about? Your life's fine. Everything looks good. And yet they still feel that something is missing. The writer Jim Carrey, he wrote, I wish everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they have ever dreamt of so that they could see that it's not the answer. We know that really deep down, don't we? But reaching for Jesus, that can seem risky. In Revelation, Jesus gives us these words. He says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. This quote is written in a culture where to eat with someone is to have friendship. It's to be intimate with them, to have a relationship. And that's what Jesus is offering, that intimate relationship. The singer of the band U2, Bono, he said this: it's impossible to meet God without abandon, without exposing yourself, being raw. And to say that you want to try God or reach out for God or find out a God can sometimes leave us feeling a little bit vulnerable. Because we know that if we opened our heart to him, that we would be vulnerable. We'd be putting ourselves on the line and thinking, oh, I've got to show who I really am. But it's that vulnerability that God wants from us, to invite him to get close and personal with us. But we don't need to fear, because God longs to do this, to pour his love into our hearts. And so Jesus always, as always, all the time, but again tonight, is offering his hand. He will never force himself upon us. He will always knock gently on the door but it is up to us to open that door to him. I've got out the front some of these booklets. They're called Why Christmas, and they're just a little explanation about what it means to be a Christian, what the claims of Christian are, that he lived, he died, and he rose from the dead, and the life that Jesus offers us. So please feel free to take one of these tonight. And I'll also be giving you an invitation to the Alpha course, which is what Kelly and Daisy very reluctantly went on, but were very surprised. It starts in February. It's just, it takes 10 weeks to do it. If you think about your life, how many years, how many weeks there'll be that you'll spend, why not just spend 10 weeks exploring, is Jesus real? Is there a God? Does he love me? It's only 10 weeks. That's an hour and a half for 10 weeks of your entire life. So if you'd like to join, I'll be giving the leaflets at the end as well. Thank you.